We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Well, it seems that everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of Americans are concerned about boys, maybe for different reasons, but there is a concern about boys and men that crosses even the very divided, darkly written political line. Both liberals and conservatives find a reason to be concerned about boys. What are those concerns, and what can the average person do about what we will call here the gentleman gap? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about a new study on the fate of American boys. Tim Gagline joins us. He's Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., formerly served as Deputy Director of the White House Office of Public Liaison for President George W. Bush, and he's co-author of the book American Restoration and a recent column for The Federalist titled Americans Are Worried About Boys, Here's What They Need to Succeed. Tim, welcome back.
Todd, it's always a joy to be with you.
You have written about the crisis of young boys and men. How would you describe it?
Well, the other day I came across, Todd, another one of those deeply sobering studies about how America is worried about our sons, especially regarding our boys growing into successful adults. And the study that I'm referring to was done by the Brookings Institution, which is probably one of the most leading liberal or progressive tending think tanks in the country, but they found that 41% of Americans agreed or strongly agreed with this concern, which is to say a deeply concerned view that our American boys are becoming successful American men.
Do Americans then seem concerned about the crisis of boys?
They do indeed. And I think that one of the most surprising findings was that although there are partisan differences in the results, 48% of conservatives said they were worried about the state of American boys, but so did 41% of liberals. Liberals are slightly more worried about girls, but both people who tend toward the left and tend toward the right tend to agree, Todd, by different margins, but overwhelmingly, they are more worried about boys, and I think rightfully so.
Why do you think that there is at least that marginal split between liberals and conservatives on concern for boys?
I think there's a marginal split because when you actually speak with progressives, as I do, and when you actually speak with conservatives, as I do, living in Washington, you see, you know, more progressives, less conservatives. But because I'm with Focus on the Family, I'm out in the country a lot. And when you speak to people of both sides, when there's not an ideological, hard-hitting issue at the center, but a more commonplace discussion of concern about families, what you find is you tend to find more agreement than disagreement. And what I am told overwhelmingly, and what we are told overwhelmingly at Focus on the Family, is that there seems to be a cultural toxin when it comes increasingly to the discussion of gender, and particularly with regard to those transition years between boyhood and young manhood.
What kind of public policies do you think have created this crisis?
Well, as I wrote about in my book, American Restoration, which you mentioned a little earlier, much has been made about the crisis of young boys and men. And we see that crisis throughout our culture as we have witnessed many boys and young men who fail to launch into adulthood, which is to say, Todd, they seem directionless and unwilling to accept, you know, greater amounts of personal responsibility. We're seeing an increase in the engagement in violent acts. And, of course, as we see from the national suicide statistics, which are deeply alarming and I think actually underreported, we see them falling into increasing despair. So these issues end up causing all sorts of societal issues, such as fatherless children, substance abuse, and unfortunately, ever-increasing incarceration rates, which I think is something else we need to keep our national scope of focus on. It's really alarming.
You say that to cure the crisis for boys, we need to recapture the concept of the gentleman. What is that?
I actually am so glad that you raised this, because this is an issue that I have written about, researched, and studied for years. I call it a gentleman gap. It's a lack of direction among young American men that they experience as they enter the adult years. And I think, Todd, that this gentleman gap can be attributed to a lack of excellent male role models, you know, to guide and to point these boys in the right direction when they are at very appreciable ages. And because of the breakdown of the family, this problem now encompasses two generations, because many men in their 30s and 40s did not have these role models. And I think, Todd, as a result, they have no idea how to be a role model for their own boys. In other words, it's a self-perpetuating problem.
Does that explain the gentleman gap, that simply we've skipped a generation of men and boys who know how to demonstrate what it means to be a man?
You know, I'm really glad you asked that, and that although I am an incorrigible optimist, I think that the answer by and large is yes. What we have is in America is you have these boys who are growing up in a world that values accomplishments over personal character, of career over family, and pleasure over responsibility, because they simply have not been taught, and therefore they know no other way. And what is communicated to them is the antithesis, the exact opposite of what it means to be a gentleman, a man who respects women, loves children, takes his role as a provider and a nurturer of his family seriously. And I think to fix what ails the American male requires instilling boys with a very serious and important purpose. In my view, that's the way forward.
Go into a little more detail on the culture's view of manhood and the view of manhood that the culture promotes and encourages.
Well, I believe that we are living in a very coarsened and toxic culture, and virtually none of the institutions which have historically instilled those values and virtues, those manners and morals that help young men become gentlemen, many of those institutions have failed them and failed us. And when young men, I think, find a purpose in life, I think what happens is they become disciplined and they become focused. They realize, Todd, that their lives are not their own. And I think as a result, they come to model self-sacrifice and unconditional love to those around them. They become what you and I would call our good citizens. They become gentlemen. And I think that we have to rethink in a very serious national way the whole meaning and purpose of our institutions and ask the hard question whether our institutions are any longer helping to create great citizens.
So If you would, you mentioned there the relationship between the gentleman, the idea of the gentleman, and good citizenship. What is that all about?
Well, I think the following. When you have large numbers of American boys who do not find a purpose in life or do not see the sort of meaning of their own lives, they become weak in spirit instead of strong. And what happens then is it makes them prone to temptation and, you know, out of control in many of their actions. And the net result is that they bow to no authority because they don't see any authority worthy of their love or respect. And the results are tragic for men, but, and I think this is so important, and I say this in my piece in The Federalist, while the results are tragic for men, in all too many cases, they are tragic for women as well. Because when you have a country, culture, and civilization that faces a dearth of responsible and capable men, it impacts women and eventually, in many cases, the next generation of family.
You talk about how women, especially of marriageable age, are having a difficult time finding a man. They still have a picture in their mind of what the gentleman ought to be, if, even if they can't articulate it, but they're having a hard time finding such men out there in the culture.
They really are. And in fact, although I did not write about the very nature of your question this time with any great depth, this is one of the major issues that I have dealt with in my book, American Restoration. Because what men are seeking in women is very often not what women are seeking in men. Women are seeking stolidity. They are seeking continuity. They are seeking someone who will help be a protector and to take care of them. They are seeking, if they want to have children, someone who will be an ideal and involved father, someone who represents security. As a Christian, I think that this is built in to the natural law. It's built into our DNA. It's the sort of thing that women should seek in men. And unfortunately, it's one of the reasons, in my view, that so many Americans, Christian and non-Christian alike, still ultimately are worried or concerned about the same thing.
Does this gentleman gap, in either a direct or indirect way, also account for the increasing civil unrest that we witness, especially in our urban areas?
I believe undoubtedly so. Our present culture has played a major role in creating not only this lack of purpose in boys as they mature into manhood, which I have written about, but to your question, one aspect is the lack of consistent rules and expectations for proper behavior in the public square. And our culture, of course, now celebrates not following the rules instead of abiding by them. And as you asked about earlier, this lack of excellent role models in other men for them to follow has a very decided negative impact in the culture at large. So ultimately, if we are to no longer be worried about the state of our boys, which seems to be the instance institutionally, as I mentioned earlier, then I think we have to realize that the implications for the rise of all kinds of negative things in the body politic, in our cities, in our villages, in our metro areas, in our exurban and urban and rural areas, I think we are unfortunately over time only going to continue to see a rise in what in other parts of the country is called antisocial behavior. And I think that that is unfortunately at this moment, in our present moment, an accurate application of what we're seeing.
So what specific public policies do we need to begin fixing the gentleman gap?
Well, I think we can all play a role in getting this gentleman gap back on the right track. And it comes down to modeling the behaviors that we want to see the rising generation of boys emulate to become successful in life and ultimately to become gentlemen. Whether we in our own lives are a father or a grandfather, an uncle or a teacher, an employer, or just a family friend, it is a very practical application to demonstrate the kind of personal responsibility, hard work, respect for others, and I think we can start to reverse the societal trends that have resulted in this current state of male aimlessness. And I think that the Brookings Institution study, which I cite in my essay at The Federalist, I think it shows that there is enough national concern in this regard that fatherlessness and the implication of fatherlessness is right at the top of what we are honor-bound to address.
What can ordinary people do to combat the aimlessness of boys and men today?
Well, as has been said, Todd, I think it's true that change occurs one life at a time. And so at the most practical level, I think it's this. Let's start with the lives that we can directly affect today. And if we do, I believe we will see positive change because ultimately, great gentlemen make great citizens. And great citizens bring cultural transformation. And I think that that starts first in homes, and from our homes, it permeates all the aspects of our society. I am an incorrigible optimist, limitless optimist, and I believe that there are practical, everyday things we can do if we will just recognize the problem and make the effort.
Why is the natural, the traditional family, vital for the future of boys and men and, as you have just said, good citizenship?
What you have just asked, in my opinion, is the most important question in the United States of America today. What kind of a country do we want 50 years from now? And if we are not focusing like a laser beam on family, marriage, and parenting, then in my view, our national goals are completely off track. Yes, we're going to have debates on the budget. Yes, we're going to have debates on immigration reform. Yes, we're going to have debates on the whole host of public policy. And in my role as Vice President of Government Affairs at Focus on the Family here in Washington, I and my comrades, my allies, we deal with these every day. But at the end of the day, if we do not focus on our own families and on the state and health of families overall in America, if we are not working to strengthen marriage and build better parents, then in one sense, the future of the country is truly in trouble. The family is the building block of all of civilization. And it seems to me that if we will make a renewed national commitment to the family, we will, not in short order, because social and cultural policy takes a long time. But I believe that in the short term, if we will make these national goals, we will begin incrementally to see the kind of improvements that we want other places in the culture if we're focusing on the family.
Tim Gagelein is Vice President of Governmental and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C. He formerly served as Deputy Director of the White House Office of Public Liaison for President George W. Bush, and he's co-author of the book American Restoration and a recent column for The Federalist titled Americans Are Worried About Boys, Here's What They Need to Succeed. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tim, thank you very much.
Todd, a real pleasure. Thank you.
If you're concerned about the fate of boys, check out Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. They offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas. On the other side, Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. We're going to continue our series with him through the Old Testament in a church here. We'll talk about the most interesting judge of all in the Old Testament, Samson. You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Life Ministry is hosting a virtual life conference, Making Disciples, Valuing Life, on March 19th and 20th. Dozens of experts in life ministry will present and answer questions throughout the conference in on-demand videos and live sessions. Participate in the conference, be equipped to speak up for the sanctity of life, and gain ideas on how to care for life. Join us as we build a team for new life ministry challenges. Register now at lcms-life.org, lcms-life.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.